So we were discussing the first date. We discussed the preparations. We discussed showing up on time. We discussed a place to ensure that there's no yichud. I can't stress this enough. Remember, everyone has a past. You want to ensure that you're building a different future. It's quite possible you're dating a girl that has a past. The trick to keeping kosher, so to speak, in our lives is not to break the rules. If you know you're not supposed to be alone with the girl, don't be alone with the girl. Don't bring her to your apartment. You're not supposed to be drinking intoxicating beverages together. Don't be drinking intoxicating beverages together. It's very simple. Chazal gave us the guidelines, and if we stick to the guidelines, then nothing improper should happen. But it's up to us to stick to the guidelines. So we said we're going to choose a modest place and a place where we can talk. It's good to choose a place where you could also walk around, and there won't be dogs that'll scare her, we said. And it's good to what? Keller. And it's good to choose a place where people won't see you. Most girls do not want to date right near their school or wherever they're learning or where they live. And you guys shouldn't date right around Machon Meir. No one has to know about it. We know that Hashem taught us the blessing rests on things that are hidden from the eye, things that are tzanua. Even when it comes to godly things like the luchos, the first luchos came down with great fanfare. They were destroyed. The second luchos came down quietly. They're around till today. So things that are in modesty usually last longer. And the same thing is true when things start developing well. So a good relationship should be kept to yourself. No one has to know about it. Blessing rests on things that are hidden from the eye. People don't have to know that things are going well. People have an ayin hara, and that's the way God created it. So better keep things quiet. So you've chosen a good place. You start the date. We said don't go on a marathon. Walk at a normal pace, and suggest maybe we should sit down. We said don't word it. Do you want to sit down? So then she'll say no. She doesn't want you doing her favors, and that's a rule for married life too. When you word things like, do you want me to get you some vegetables at the store? No, I don't need you to get me vegetables at the store. I need you to get vegetables for the house at the store. Does that mean you could start practicing on the day? If not, do you want to sit down? It's maybe we should sit down. Would you like to word it in a way that it's both of us? And so when we walk, and very often the nice thing about walking is that if there's nothing said, it's more comfortable. When you're sitting facing one another and you have nothing to say, then it can be uncomfortable. We mentioned don't be scared of silence. There's nothing wrong with our silent gaps, because that's normal. How long should the date go for? So there are different opinions. I personally am a fan of longer dates. I just figure why go out for an hour and a half, 2 hours, come back, set up the next date, go again for 2 hours. Why do that three times when you could have a good 4 or 5 hour date? You're already stepping out. If it works, it's good to know in advance what your own time limit's going to be. It's not so nice if you're out with a girl till 12:30 at night. The date should end somewhere around 11:30, but if the date starts at 6:30, so then that still gives you 5 hours for the date. Gauge your time so that you end the date at a place that she could catch her bus, or it's at a place where it's close enough to her home that she would want to walk home alone. She does not usually want you walking her home. She doesn't want people to see you with her. She doesn't want you walking home to her seminary or wherever it is. Usually the girl wants you to wait with her at the bus stop. But you do have to wait at the bus stop. We'll get to that later. Yeah?
So you hang out in the park for 5 hours? Are you in a cafe for 5 hours?
Well, I don't think you have to stay in the same place. You could start out at a cafe and be there for an hour or two over a cup of tea. And then go for a walk to a park. If things go well, one of the places I like dating is the Kotel. So you could go for a few minutes to daven, and then you walk around the Jewish quarter. I mean, there were two reasons I liked it. I happen to love the Jewish quarter, and I never have time to go there. So it's a nice way to get to walk around there. And there was a funny calculation. I used to feel like I don't know if anything will come out of the date, but at least I'll get tefillah at the Kotel. So I liked going to the Jewish quarter. You could walk around there for hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I could. The only thing is, you shouldn't stand in the sun for 5 hours. Okay, so what do we discuss? Yeah?
You're prepared for the day, you're ready to be up for 4 or 5 hours. What happens if the things just aren't going well? I can't stand this one anymore. How do you end the day early in a way that's not...
I think that with regard to having to end the date early, I mean... let's say you're on the date and after like a half hour it's pretty obvious this isn't going to work. So out of politeness, I think there should be like a minimum range that you do have to have. If you come on a date, there's a minimum amount of time that's reasonable. I once showed up to the date and the girl looks at me and looks down. She sees she's taller than me and her smile turns into a sour look, like no poker face. So I look at her and I understand what she's thinking. So I said, you want to end it now? She said, no, I still have a half hour to the next bus. So I'm thinking, okay, if it's not going to work, like what's the point? But fine, I'll be respectful. So we spoke for a half hour, I wished her well, and of course the next day she told me she didn't think we matched, and I said, fine, all the best. I think that out of decency, there's a minimum amount of time, and I think less than an hour is like really, it's really hurtful. Remember, we'll get to that. What do you say? There's no conversation.
How many do you go, you say, look, I can't stand you by? You make up a story, like, oh, I have to go,
one second, wait. The way it usually works is, after the date, you call her the next day.
And no, but I mean, if you really feel like you have to end the date early,
one second. You don't set up an amount of time for the date before the date. And when you set up a date, you agree to a beginning time. And then, if it lasts, if it lasts for a half hour, an hour, it shouldn't last a half hour, it should last at least an hour. If it lasts for an hour, that's fine. If it lasts for 2-3 hours, it's also fine.
But then, how do you let her know that you think it's time?
There are polite ways of saying it. You could say, thank you very much, I really enjoyed it, and maybe we should head back now. I mean, there are nice ways of saying it. Or maybe we should start heading back, or would it work if we start heading back in a few minutes? There are ways of saying it nicely and gently, but I don't think that you have to offer a reason. And I think that it would be wrong to tell a girl, look, I really didn't enjoy this. One of the things that you have to think about is how is she going to walk away from this date? Let her walk away with feeling good about herself. I think that's critical. I think every side, the guy and the girl, when it comes to a date, they have to think of the other party. And even if I don't think this matches for me, and even if I've even reached the point that you're saying that I'm pretty convinced that this isn't a person I'd want to have anything to do with, even so... I think that that should never be said. I think what should be said are words of encouragement, words that will leave the other person with the feeling that I'm a good person and I have the strength to move forward in life. If we've already touched upon this point, so I think that whenever you tell a girl no, you always have to give a lot of compliments and say, look, I really enjoyed the date and I really enjoyed getting to know you and I feel like I gained a lot from the time we spent together. I don't think that's be worded that way. I don't think we match for marriage. Meaning, a lot of people have the attitude, if we match, then I think you're a wonderful person. And if we don't match, then I think you're a dog. No, I can think you're a wonderful person and yet think that we don't match for marriage. Look, I've interviewed hundreds of girls for Shidduchim, right? I think a lot of them are wonderful, wonderful girls. Do I think that means they all match for a wonderful guy? No. A lot of wonderful guys and wonderful girls, and that doesn't mean they match. Shidduch is made in Shemayim. And the fact that you don't match with Mrs. 1, 2, 3, or 4 doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. I think that's a misconception that many people go out with. They think that if I'm going to say no to her, then I have to find a problem with her. If I'm going to say no to him, then there's something wrong with him. Well, if we're both good, then why don't we match? It's not true. to perfectly good people won't necessarily match. And I think it's very important when we, if we do choose to break up, I'll get to you in a second, if we do choose to break up, that we convey it in a respectful way and in a truthful way, which is, even though you're a positive person, I don't think we match. And I think the even though you're a positive person has to be overstated, not understated. Meaning we want the other person walking away from this date feeling positive about themselves. So then we have to think back and say, okay, she was nice, she was gentle, she was kind, she, think of all the positive things you can possibly say. She was intelligent. And then in the conversation you say, look, I really enjoyed getting to know you. I felt you had insights that really left me with food for thought, and I gained a lot from the time we spent together. And I really think whoever's going to marry you is going to luck out. I don't think we match, but I wish you well. And,
luck out?
Yeah.
Luck out
is bad?
That's good.
That's good, yeah. I think.
What? Luck out? And he's like, oh, luck out. I think whoever's going to get you is going to be one lucky guy.
Right, that's what I meant to say.
Luck out is like. It's not
strike out, like,
knock
out.
Like,
okay.
You got lucky, that's like, you know what I'm saying?
No,
it's like,
fine,
you worded
out. Okay, I hope I didn't hurt anyone's feelings. I just don't want anyone to
get really angry, punched in the face, or something like that. It's
like,
it's your class.
No, fine, I didn't know luck out was a bad thing. Okay, but I think that's very important. You're just second on time. Yeah,
Barbara. So my question is, I don't know if we can touch this. I'd like to discuss what's appropriate to discuss about one's past and what's appropriate, inappropriate to discuss about one's past, especially in the beginning stage of the dating.
Okay, so that's where we were headed. We got sidetracked. Here, just a second, Yonatan.
I just want to say, there's certain levels of everything that you say to a woman or from a woman to a guy, because it becomes very cliche that someone, even if you're saying something nice about the other person, they know it's not like completely meant that way. Like, you know, I don't want the time, this, that, and the other. But they're like, oh, well, this is cliche, I've heard this before, it was not a good thing. It was a horrible time for this person.
So I'd rather get to that when we discuss the third and the fifth date, and that we should discuss where things are holding. So at that point, we'll discuss how to compliment. And then you could apply here as well. I agree with you. Sometimes it is a cliche. After one date, there isn't that much you could say. But I still think that there's what to be said for being polite, even after one date. Think, reverse the roles. You know how many guys have stopped dating? Stop dating. They're 40 or 30, and they've dated so many girls that have hurt their feelings, that they're not willing to date another girl. You know how many guys there are that way? Because girls at the end of the date feel like they have to explain why we don't match. So they give them a Mr. Schmooze. Like, I get this as a shot punt. A girl can call me up and say, I met the guy. You know how arrogant that guy is? You know how he behaved to the waitress? You know, talk about midot, non-existent. You know, it's not like a fog. A fog, at least there's something. Nothing, nothing. This man, I mean, dogs are more polite than this man. You know what I hear from girls about guys? And I know these guys, and these are people who are decent people. They might not have been too nice there on the date. I don't know. I mean, fine. And if she says this to the guy, so imagine five girls go out on a guy, one back to back. You can imagine a guy can get really hurt. I mean, I think there's a lot to be said for being positive at the end when you break up, even if it is just cliches.
If you can extend the other these rebukes from the corner, you're a jerk. Why do you waste my time or something like that?
I don't know. I'll tell you. That's a good question. How do you get out of that? Okay, we'll take a few minutes to address that, and then we'll get to Baruch's question. We've really gotten sidetracked here. We have to know that in any issue of Ben Adam L'Chaveru, so on the one hand, we are to be considerate. On the other hand, we don't have to get trampled on. If a person is in a situation where he feels like this is beyond what I can handle, this is going to crush me, a person has to find a way out of the conversation. A way out of the conversation can be, sorry, I got to go, we'll be in touch. And that's it. Now you'll say that's rude, but if the other person is starting to bash on you, so that's you don't have to take you don't have to take certain things. I'm not talking about marriage. Marriage is a different story. But if you're if this is a girl that you're never going to see again, and she thinks she has a right to just bring a guy to tears and tear him apart, I don't think that guys have to be destroyed. I've seen guys literally destroyed. I know men who will not date. They will not. They're not willing to get married. They've been so hurt by girls that they will not date. There are also girls that way who cannot get close to men. They cannot develop a relationship because they've been too hurt by men. It goes both ways. And I think a person has to protect themselves. And protecting oneself can be in the form of, I don't think this is right. If this is how you feel, all the best. Goodbye. Can you hang up? Yeah.
I don't know if it's a superficial thing, but I think it's extremely important to know that like God makes people on like different levels and different strengths and weaknesses, right? So I think it's like very important like when people are going out on a date, if people are like mismatched, like say someone like really cares about like how he looks and the girl cares about what she looks like, right? So it's like ideal to like set up two people who are like, you know, like I don't want to sound superficial, say nice looking, but I think like God makes people in different ways. And I think when you're setting someone up who ideally is looking for someone who's physically attractive, and the other person, you know, is doesn't care about his looks, then the girl is going to be, you know, disappointed and upset. I don't think that that's wrong to say.
Well, I respect that. One of the questions I asked on my questionnaire is on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all and 10 being very much, how important are looks to you?
Okay.
I asked that, but I'll tell you a secret. I'm never willing to accept a picture of a girl.
Okay.
I tell the guys, if the guy tells me 10, it's most important to me, I'll be very honest with you. I've never seen the girl. 90% of the shidduchim we merited to make, I never meet the girl till they're engaged.
Why ask what she looks like if you don't even know what she looks like? That's not nice.
Okay.
If God bless someone to be a very handsome person, I really don't mean to say this in a disgusting way, but God bless someone to be a handsome person, and in his life, he's had, before he made teshuva, he's known to get women who are attractive women. It's going to be insane for him to all of a sudden go back and now be interested in unattractive women. As sick as that sounds, it's a reality.
Maybe we'll get a chance to get to that later tonight. I think there's a lot to be said about that. Remind me. Let me take out
that.
Where's my pen? I'll write down the topic so we can get back to.
The soul is the most important thing.
We will discuss books. That's a point we have to get back to. Okay. I think that sometimes, getting back to what you're saying, if a girl or a guy is bashing on the person who they were dating, sometimes I would even say it's legitimate to have the conversation just suddenly end. I'm sorry, I guess I was in a place where there was no klita.
There's no
reception. I'm sorry, I can't. There's no reception. It's always best if you're gonna really detach the conversation to do it when you're in the middle of talking. Could you ping? Yeah. Could you please rip? And then the conversation just ends. You
That's
hit the end and shut the phone. Look, wow. I'm talking about situations of pikuach nefesh. I'm talking about situations where, no, you guys think I'm laughing. If a guy sees that she's ripping into him, or a girl sees that he's ripping into her, and they're going to walk away emotionally scathed from this, they don't have to accept it. I don't have to accept such a thing from someone else. And this is in general. I mean, now you have to remember that you do it in a way where it's not obviously hung up on the person. You use your intelligence. But at the end of the day, a person has to protect themselves. I'd rather you hang up on someone than you walk away one of these guys that says, you know, I've been too hurt. I'm not willing to date another girl. Every person has to move forward in life.
You've got to hang up and make it happen. I mean, people who are single into their 40s are more miserable than they would if they just met. Listen, every day in the prayer session, I don't mean to preach a class, we say remove from us sorrow and groan, you know, put in us compassion and kindness. I mean, that's something we pray for 3 times a day. It's time to put those things into action. You know, it's not easy, but life is difficult, you know? Everyone's had hardships.
Okay, we're each given different tools and different strengths and weaknesses. Okay. Okay, yes.
Brother Chewy, what's the... say, for example, you are in a conversation. They're about to get me on you. They're about to bash you. You can't say that if you hang up on that person, that it's erased from your mind.
That's true, but at least you won't hear the comment at a continuation.
You knew where it was headed, so it's going to stay with you regardless.
No, you don't know. I was once dating a girl where it was pretty obvious at the end of the date that I didn't think there was a point in continuing, and she thought there was a point in continuing. So at the end of the date, I said, she said something like, where do you think things are holding? It was the first date. I said, I have to think over what we discussed. You said a lot, I said a lot. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I said, what time is good to call you tomorrow? I'll call you. So she started saying, she told me a time, and then she said, you know, some guys are man enough to tell you what they think, and some guys are just, and then she went on and on. So we're standing at the bus stop waiting for her bus, and I'm really hoping that bus is going to come fast. How much could she say after one date? And I remember standing there smiling. It was just like humorous to see how, look, what did I do to you, girl? All I said is, I'm not sure I want to continue with you. And you're like, oh, giving it to me. Okay, you know. I would have never imagined that after one date a person could give it to someone else like that. You know, I feel bad. This is one girl, I don't remember her name and number, but I had shidduchim for her. I just don't remember who she is.
What about the ideal with someone who's newly dating, right? So the issue was because Shachan sees someone who's newly dating, and he said, well, this is a good tetra, here's a good guy, this and that. I want to do a mitzvah shemayin, and marry off this girl who's been struggling for 2 or 3 years. I don't think it's inappropriate for the guy to say to the Shachan, I'm not interested in someone who's been dating for 2 or 3 years in that sense, but having lots of problems. I'm looking for someone who's also newly dating. Because I'm looking for someone who's not that quality. Right?
I get this all the time. I had a guy this week, last week, he calls me up, tells me he has a daughter. She's 25, 26. And he describes the girl, and I tell him, I have a guy. I think he's 30. I think he's exactly what your daughter's looking for. So he tells me, why is it that he reached the age of 30 and he's not yet married?
Right.
So I said, because he hasn't yet met your daughter. You know, what kind of question is that? Maybe he didn't meet the right person. What do you mean? I could ask the same thing about his daughter. This guy started dating at 25 and he's not yet married at 30. And his daughter started dating at 18 and she's not married at 25. Well, the daughter's more on her. I mean, the question's more on her. I don't buy that question. I think that people should consult with someone with more experience. Very often that can make all the difference. We've seen shidduchim go flat over nothing, over ridiculous things. We have this about every half a year. A shidduch that they're about to get engaged, everything's perfect, and then suddenly one side gets tense and some juke in their head, and they decide, we need this, we need that. What's going on here? We've seen all kinds of ridiculous reasons why people break up. So
we go to a third party? Then? Can I give you an example, please?
I don't think it needs third party. I think each side should have someone who has experience and their best interest at heart, and they can think with. Yeah. I don't think you need a third party.
So if you meet somebody meeting a nice girl, right? And I met her on one of these dating websites, right? So there's no real like intermediate person. So the individual, I've seen a picture of her, a beautiful, nice girl. We connect really well. The issue is after the first date, if things go well, I think it's important that you bring someone in as the middle, because I don't know this person that well. You know, I don't know her friends and her family. Like I think it's important to put in some type of person as a midpoint of a rod. I don't know how exactly you institute that on the dating website when you meet someone. Because the matchmaker doesn't know this person personally either.
Okay. Maybe we'll have time to get back to that. Let's get to the first date and the question of art history. We said last time that most of these points are points that really each person would have to speak to his rav on a personal level. We do have to know that there are a lot of things that do not have to be said on a first date. If a person has diabetes, if a person has something like diabetes, it's hereditary. At some point he has to tell her. But it doesn't have to be on the first date. And the idea is as follows, that when you give a person a more complete perspective, when you see the whole person, then you could gauge, okay, I've seen this person, I've seen all aspects, a lot of aspects, now I know this aspect. I don't think it's so important on the first date to share with the girl that you used to smuggle drugs. So, I mean, hopefully, if you did it last week, so then
you should never tell them something, no?
So wait, we'll get to what you never tell and what you what you tell sometimes, at some point. But I think there's a lot that if you've already developed a new life and it's been years now that you haven't been doing these things, so an intelligent girl understands that if she's dating someone who's chuba, so then the person has a history. The same thing goes for a person's relationship with other girls. To an extent, if you're dating someone, if you're dating a girl who's chozeret b'tshuva, so it's again, she's had other relationships in our day and age. And I don't think it's something that has to be discussed. And I think even within marriage, meaning a couple can come to the understanding that we both have a history, that this isn't going to be the first time for both of us, and we're not going to discuss it beyond that. We're starting a fresh life. We don't have to go into where our past was. Now, if a person has three children in Poland, well, that might be a little bit of an issue. No, well, I'm telling you a true story. We had a guy here who had a few children in Poland, and he was a ger. They weren't Jewish children, but he kept supporting them, and he was very fair. He said that to the girls. I mean, I used to say that even before I set him up, because this was a part of who he was, and that's legitimate. But if it's just a question that I have a history, well, that's something which I don't think has to come up. If a person, there are a lot of, again, we're not going into enough details because there are a lot of details. There are a lot of different ways in which.
And how do you break the news of a girl like, oh, by the way, I used to like import drugs.
I don't know if you have to go into all of that. No, so
I'm telling a woman about the life that I used to live.
Okay, well, two things. A, people are interested, and girls are more inquisitive than boys. So don't be surprised if on the date she says, look, I'll tell you my best, you tell me your best. I think that a lot of it you could say, let's just say it was... I think that on a lot of it you could say, I really have tried to leave that, and I really... don't want to take that with me, and I don't want to go into the details. You definitely should avoid it in the beginning. It's enough to say that you have a past. Now, how much of it you should say as you go forward, that's something which each person is going to have to talk to his rav. I mean, I cannot say a rule about that. Let's take the master smuggler. We had a guy like that by us. He's one of the most honest, God-fearing people I ever met. I'd trust him, I'd give him a loan, I have no problem with him. He happened to have shared with me his history. Okay, now, do I think he has to share that with the girl he's dating? Given that so much time has passed and he's really changed his life, I don't know that that's critical. I never went into it with him, did he do it for 1 year or was that something that he did for 20 years? We didn't go to such depth, but you know, if someone's been doing something for 20 years, there's something to think about, that you can't just blotch out and say, okay, life started yesterday. You know, I'm just going to tell you about my life since I came to my home here, and everything else is history. It gets a little bit complex. And that's why it's hard to say rules. This you do tell, this you don't tell. What I would say is that in the beginning, don't tell. In the beginning, it's enough that the girl knows you have a history. And I will add another point. What was the story? Yeah, tell you two stories. I had one friend who had an Ashkenazi stomach. Okay, Ashkenazi stomach. Ashkenazis generally have lactose intolerance, and Ashkenazis have what's called Crohn's disease. But something
like
what's it called?
Crohn's disease.
No.
No, Peter Keller is. I used to know an online group called Jews with Crohn's.
Yeah, it sounds very serious, but there's a huge percentage of the population that has it, especially Ashkenazi Jewry. And Jews have all kinds of digestive issues, Ashkenazi Jews. So this guy is dating a girl, and it's going really well. And then they're getting really serious, and then at some point, he asks her, or she asks him, is there any information that I have to know that you should share with me, that I really should know? And he says, yeah, I have something really serious to tell you. Come sit down. So she sits down, and he says, look, I have this issue. I have stomach problems. So she says, you have stomach problems? He says, yeah, but it's serious. This is like, I see doctors. And she says, how serious? He says, well, I'm living. It's not like I'm going to die tomorrow, but I have stomach problems. So she panicked. They were ready to get engaged, and he's telling her he has this serious problem. So she started interviewing all his doctors. And thank God she's an intelligent girl. After 3 months of research, she came to the conclusion that she can live with it. It's not the end of the world.
Yes.
And today they're happy and happily married with quite a few children. But he was meticulously honest, and he felt like he has to tell this to her, so he said it to her like that. And it took a lot of work to rectify his problem. Another guy had a certain issue with his male organ, but it's an issue that 15% of the population had. So you can't say something that one out of six people had, that that's like such a big issue. But he decided he has to share it with her when they were about to get engaged. Now, what he didn't know is that she had a very close relative that got married to a guy and never had kids because the guy had a problem. So now he's opening a can of worms. He comes to the girl and he tells her, look, I have X. And she says, you have what? And he says, I have that. So she says, well, I don't know if we can go on. And we spent the next few months traveling to specialists so that she could understand what she was getting into. And today, Baruch Hashem, they have quite a few kids. It didn't prove to be any problem. And he didn't even know that what he was telling you. You never know the other side's perspective. And he didn't know that she had a relative who ended up getting divorced because her husband couldn't bring kids to the world, and he never bothered telling anyone that he wasn't that he had a serious problem. Okay, you never know who you're talking to, meaning she's not going to share with you all the things she's been through. So before you say something, it's very important to consult. Some things don't have to be said at all, halachically. Some things you have to know how to word them. And some things, it's enough that you say in a general way. Meaning, if, let's say, the girl has, let's say the guy has outstanding debt, right? He has credit card debt. So let's say the debt is a little bit heavy. So he's got $55,000 in debt. Maybe that's debt. It's accruing interest. He doesn't necessarily have to tell her, again, each person will ask their local Orthodox rabbi, but it might be that it's enough to tell her, you know, I have some outstanding debt I still have to take care of. He might not have to tell her, depending on the number, depending on a lot of factors, but it could be that he doesn't have to go into details. Sometimes the halacha says, you make information available to the other side, and then if the other side is interested, they have to ask for more information. You don't always have to give all the information. Even in situations where you do have to tell the other side, sometimes you just have to make them aware that there's information to be had, and then it's their choice to ask for more or not. So that's why it's very important before you start revealing this information to be very careful and find out. I could tell you that you never know when information will come back to haunt you. You never know. And I've seen very vicious things happen in the dating scene. Recently I had a person who dated someone else. And they said to me, I want to hurt that person. And I couldn't believe that's what I'm hearing. Why? Why? You never know what's going to be quoted now. I can tell you I personally was the victim of slander. Before I was dating, I was rumored to be engaged 3 times. I was in the United States, and 3 times I started getting phone calls that I got engaged. And I wasn't even dating. Where'd the rumors start? I don't know. But this happened to me not once, not twice, 3 times. And then afterwards, there were stories where I dated girls, and after the date, I got feedback and wasn't anywhere near what happened. My best friend set me up with a girl, and she decided on the date it didn't make sense. I come back and he's very upset. I said to him, what are you upset about? He says, why'd you say no to the girl? I didn't say no to the girl. She said to me, oh? And why'd you tell her this and this about chinuch? I didn't say that. She said X. She said Y. I didn't say that. It happened to have been his cousin. She was uncomfortable telling him that she said no. She was uncomfortable telling him her reasons for saying no. So she twisted the whole story that happened on the date. And this was a person that I was really good friends with. I came back from the date and I was shocked. What's he upsetting me for? She nixed me. I mean, I didn't nix her. And she presented the stories completely different. And this happened to me more than once. You never know under what pressures the other side is standing and how they're going to present things. And if you think things don't come back to haunt you, I can tell you that I dated a girl and things started getting serious. And then she started checking me out, and I don't know how, but she got in touch with most of the girls that I dated more than 5 dates and asked them about me. And I don't know how they got their numbers, but at the end of the day, I married that girl. My wife, when we were dating, somehow her family got hold of numbers of the 3 girls, I think there were 3 girls or 4 girls, I don't remember anymore. The few girls who it went beyond 5 dates, where it had serious potential, one of them is their neighbor, so that was easy. But still, I don't know how they knew I ever dated their daughter. And 2 others. And information does come back. So you when you share information with a date, you can't assume it's staying with her. She's going to come home and tell her roommate. She's gonna tell people. It's not right. She shouldn't. But that's what happens in life. People talk. And before you divulge any information that's compromising about yourself, make sure you have someone who has a lot of experience and has your best interest at heart, and you could think this through with, and someone who has broad enough shoulders in halacha to tell you what you have to say, how you have to say it, when you should say it. There are rules about this. There was a girl that had, I don't even know what her illness was. She had some kind of illness where she couldn't really function. Like, she'd just tire out. I don't know if it was a chronic fatigue syndrome or something else, but I don't know. No, she'd get very tired. I don't know what exactly she had. She still has. She dated a guy. The guy had dated 30, 40 girls. And she asked her rabbi, what do I say when? And her rabbi told her, after 4 dates, or I don't remember the number, then you should tell him that there's this issue. So she listened to her rabbi. They went. After 5 dates, he was head over heels. And then she told him, she said, look, I was told, halachically, this is the time I have to tell you about A, B, and C. And the guy thought it over and consulted, and he realized that he's in love with this girl. He wants to marry her, and he won't be able to live life differently. And he married her. And during his Sheva Brachos, she couldn't even participate in Sheva Brachos. She was in bed, ill in bed. So that was his choice, but she did what was right. Had she told him, they're still married. Had she told him before they got married, before they met the first date, he would have said, no way am I getting into this. Once he met her, saw all the other sides, saw this, he made a choice. Whether it was a good choice or a bad choice, that's his fault. I don't know. That's his life. In these issues, that's a different question. I recommend you consult with your parents, because you feel like this is the only girl, and if she suddenly tells you she has issue A, B, or C, in your mind, it might be, well, okay, fine, I can live with that. And people with more experience could look at it and say, wait a second, you're young. We had a story a few years ago, a girl dated a guy, and again, his rabbi told him after X number of dates, he should tell the girl he has diabetes. After those number of dates, he told the girl he has diabetes. She had diabetes in her family, but she didn't have it. He had diabetes. The girl's parents said, no way, this is the first, second, third guy, I don't remember the number of them. You're young, you still have potential, there's no reason you should go for it. So they put a lot of pressure, she said, fine. She stopped dating him. She dated a bunch of other guys, and she said, no one comes close to this guy. After dating a bunch of other guys, came back to the guy, married him, and Baruch Hashem, they're happily married, as far as you could tell from the outside. Sometimes that happens too. But people who have more experience and your best interest at heart could sometimes stop you and say, wait, maybe not. By the same token, we had a story where a girl was dating a guy and his history bothered her, and because of that she said no, and he said, you're telling me no, but you know, I'm going to move on in life. And at some point she wanted to come back and he was already married. I mean, that happens too. No one's saying anyone's going to wait for you. We see this all the time happening both ways, you see. But it pays to consult with someone who's going to think things through with you, and we'll get to that. How you should weigh, okay, if we brought it up, we'll just say it in a nutshell. When you do consult with people, remember, everyone can have your best interest at heart. At the end of the day, it's your life. You're going to live with marrying this person. You're going to live with not marrying this person. A friend of mine dated a girl, and they told him she has serious epilepsy. The guy said, I don't care. The week of their marriage, she had an epileptic attack and fell down, destroyed her face. She needed a lot of, what do they call that?
Plastic surgery?
No.
Stitches,
and then what do girls put on? Makeup. She needed a lot of makeup to show up to that wedding looking half decent. He said, fine, no problem, great. They had 3 or 5 kids, I don't remember. And one day he comes home in the middle of the afternoon and he finds all the kids waving. Their mother had dropped dead from an epileptic attack.
Wow.
And he found the kids after hours that the kids were pulling at their mother, and the poor lady had dropped dead in the middle of the kitchen that morning. And he found them hours later. I mean, he came home from work to find that. Now, can someone foresee that? I don't know. But, you know, people who experience things in life, they look at things differently. If a person has the experience, a friend of mine, his father is in an insane asylum. The man literally went from being a regular individual who just needed a little bit of help to a little bit more help to finally he's in Bellevue. I mean, he's that's where he is. Sometimes you have more experience. You see things differently. And at your stage of the game, all you see is the girl looks great and I really want to marry her, and that's good. You're young and that's the way it should be. But take advantage of people who have more experience. At the same time, you have to know that everyone has their own perspective and their own limitations, and at the end of the day, it's your life. You're the only ones that will live with, not the only ones, but you will bear the brunt of your decisions. Your parents also bear some of the brunt. They want to see you happy. They want to see a good home, but at the end of the day, it's your life. Just one second, and you should know, ask people why they're giving you advice. I don't believe in EGBG. You know, when it comes to dating, people sometimes want someone else to take the responsibility. So I've seen many times guys come to Machon Meir, they learn, they start dating a girl, then they're not sure whether they should marry her, so they look for some rabbi or rebbe or whatever, mikubal, let him decide for me. And I'm sorry, life is about living. Life is about making intelligent choices. That's life. And our responsibility is to take advantage of the tools we have, take it people's advice, but until we have a prophet, we have to make the decisions of our life. No one else is going to live with the results of your decision. You want to take counsel with someone, that's fine. You want to go to someone who's going to say, well, the numerical value of your name, the numerical value of her name, if you tell her to add the name Hayat to her name, then it can match. I don't think that's what Judaism wants us to do. And I don't think that's a responsible way to approach it.
You're opposed to the idea of going to someone like, my name is...
Correct.
So, her name is so...
Correct.
How much do you do astrological
signs? I don't have all of them,
right? What does the Shulchan Aruch say about it? Why do you ask me? okay. In the Shulchan Aruch it says that there is some truth to these things, but tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha. A person should be whole with Hashem and shouldn't try to figure out things about by this. And we saw in our Friday class in the Toshot HaRamban that there used to be wisdom that you could figure out a person's future from their palm, and there used to be wisdom that you could figure out the future based upon birds chirpings, and there are all kinds of ways of forecasting things, be it the weather or other things. But, says the Ramban, we lost that wisdom. There used to be a true wisdom. Today, yeah, they're close. They might have all kinds of indications, but they don't have the real thing. That's what we saw in the Drashat Ramban, in Torah Hashem Tmima. So, the Talmud says there's truth to palm reading. But that doesn't mean we still have it. Yeah, Yonatan.
What if you have a situation where the dating's going wonderful for the two people? But you have a situation later on where all of a sudden the families just don't see eye to eye. Something happens, and both families are like, "You gotta stop. We don't want you dating that person anymore."
Okay, so that's okay. I was about to get to that. I didn't yet tell this group the story about the looks, going back to looks, right?
Okay.
There was once a guy who was dating a girl, and they dated. I don't remember if it was a half a year, year and a half. I don't remember, but it was quite a while, and he thought it matched. So he introduced her to his family, she introduced him to her family, everything was nice, and then his family said, we're against it. So he came, his parents fly in, they meet the girl, they're against it. So, fine, they're against it. He leaves the country. He tells her, look, this isn't going to work. He leaves. Fine. About a month or two later, I get a phone call. He says, you know, I was dating this girl, and my family was against it, and I left her. What do you think? So I said, I never met the girl. I mean, your family met her. What do I know? What do they say is the problem? So he said, they say she's not beautiful enough. So I said, I don't know, I think that's ridiculous. You think her looks are fine, what do you care what they think? If you think her looks are fine, what do you care? He said, yeah, but they say she's not special. There are many girls like her. I said, do you think she's special? He said, yeah. Do you want to marry her? Yeah. So I said, okay, I don't know. If that's all they're saying, if that's the whole reason not to marry her, I think that's ridiculous. The only thing you have to factor is that what they say might come back to haunt you. It might ring in the back of your head. You'll be married. 5 years down the road, you'll start thinking, well, maybe she's not so special. Maybe she's not so beautiful. Maybe they were right. That's the only thing. But if you think that you're man enough to hold your own, then I don't think that's a reason not to marry her. So he says, okay, I want you to meet her. So I said, fine, I don't mind meeting her, but how long will I meet her for? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what's my opinion compared to your family? They knew her for, she spent Shabbatot by them and stuff. What do I know? So he says, no, go meet her. Fine. So I take the bus out to where she works. I meet her after work. We talk for a few minutes. I come back home. He calls me. He says, what do you think? I said, I think I can't know anything after a short meeting with a person. What do I know? But if you're asking me, she said, yeah, but from your 5 minutes, what do you think? I said, I think she's a nice person. I spoke to a nice person. She seemed decent. She seemed fine. I don't know. I can't know more than that from a 5 minute conversation. He said, and do you think I should walk away from this? I said, no. I said, if you think she matches and she thinks you match and your family has nothing bad to say about her except for the looks, and you think the looks are fine, so I don't see any reason you shouldn't marry her. You want to marry her. You've been wanting to marry her for months. Just because they don't think her looks are good enough or she's special enough, so what? And I think that they have to mature and learn to live with your decision. He got on a plane. I'm skipping. This conversation took about an hour, and I remember getting off the phone and telling my wife, that was such a wasted hour. If he doesn't think he should marry her because other people don't think she looks good, what's my say-so going to do anything? 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. He's in the country. He surprised her. He came with a ring, and they're engaged. And today they're married. They're Baruch Hashem happily married, and the families have made peace. So,
did she know what they
were? I don't know. I hope she doesn't hear this. I don't know what she knows and what she doesn't know of this. I have no idea. But I doubt she's listening to dating classes. She's married. What? I didn't say their names, right? But I don't think he ever told her. I mean, after he got married to her, he severed all contact with me, which I understand. I understand that. I don't hold that against him. I mean, I understand that. So I'm not... I mean, she knows my name. I met her, but I don't think this will back there. Yeah.
You know, going back to this question on looks, how do the Shaktans know how to, are two equally looking people?
We'll get to that, but I first want to deal with Yontan's question. Okay, so when it comes to families, so there are a few points. Firstly, you have your family is part of your life, usually for much of your life. And if they're against something, so that's something to weigh because it's something you'll have to live with. Some parents are mature enough that they realize if this is a decision, then if I want to do what's good for him and I want to do what's good for her, then I better get used to it because that's it. That's their decision. Many parents are not mature enough to say that, and that's a problem. Every instance has its own formula. Generally, the recommendation is if you're just starting out, like a guy's parents tell him, you're a Sephardi, you only marry a Sephardi girl. You're a Yemenite, you only marry a Yemenite girl. You're Ashkenazi, you only marry a Ashkenazi girl. So generally we say, if you're young, you're just starting out, why pick fights with your parents? Work within their guidelines. If you happen to have met a girl, and it makes sense to you, and your parents are against it, so this question dates back to the time of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says there's no obligation of keep it out of aim when it comes to who you marry. You can marry whoever you want. But still, an intelligent person finds ways of making peace. We always look for ways of making peace. And this is where what Baruch said is critical. Like sometimes you bring in a third party that can make all the difference. We do everything we can to make peace. sometimes, in spite of that, it doesn't work. And those are things that happen every day. I mean, ma'asim b'chol yom. We see parents who refuse to make peace. We had a shidduch once. They were engaged. They wanted to get married. Everything was perfect. His mother decided that she wasn't warm enough towards her. So that's it. The daughter-in-law is dead. In her mind, this shidduch can't happen. She notified her son, we're not funding this marriage, we're not going to come to the wedding, we're not going to have anything to do with it, we're considering you disrespectful, and we will have nothing to do with you if you marry this girl. At some point, the kid gave way. He broke the engagement, married someone else, she married someone else. To tell you he's too happy with his life, I don't know. I have no idea. You know, it's a hard thing to gauge. The guy changed his whole life because his mother decided that the daughter-in-law wasn't respectful enough to her. Okay, you know, I mean, people grow old, that doesn't mean they grow mature. I mean, what can you say? It's something to factor in. Meaning, you can't just knock it and say, well, I'm allowed to do it, so what do I care if they're against it? No, they brought you to this world, and we do everything we can to make them happy with the decision. And sometimes it's just a question of time. Sometimes it's a question of asking the Kala to show warmth towards her in-laws. And there are ways of doing that. I always tell couples to say positive things. Meaning, tell your parents about the fact that she brought you food to the date, or she took care of something you needed help with. Convey to them the positive, so that they start warming up to the idea. Whatever the positive might be, tell them the things she said that you think they'll like. Try to share with them things that will make it more palatable to them. We also try to talk to parents. I mean, something that the Listman, Rav Or, and Rav Micha and I do all the time. We try to meet with parents and try to help them come to terms and be happy and tell them the positive about the guy or the girl, whoever it is. There are different ways in which we do try to reach peace. Of course, if it's a choice before you date the girl, the parents say, we don't want a girl from a different sect or something like that than you, so then... initially we say try to avoid it. If your parents have been limiting you and you're at an age where you shouldn't really wait any longer, so then you have to move forward and try to get your parents to come to terms with it. And again, Chachamin Abro show that there are ways to try and work on it. Now, post-marriage, a couple gets married and now the parents are holding their own. So then again, it's never too late. A child always has to try and be the one to bring peace. And this I'm saying because I'm talking to the children. If this were a class of parents, I tell the parents, a parent always has to be the one to try and bring peace. Peace is something that can be found when both sides want it. Both sides in a marriage, both sides in any relationship. You always have to take full responsibility for the peace. And that's a little difficult because a person's wife might say, they said this and they said that, I'm never going to forgive them. So let her go to Shiurim and realize that that's not a way of life. And it's at the end of the day that hurts the whole family. Because you want to have in-laws, you want to have parents to go to after delivery, you want to have grandparents for your children. It's not a good thing. Meaning you do want peace. And the only exception to that can be in instances when the parents are completely immoral. Meaning we had a situation where a guy was molested by his father. So there... we told him, you don't have to stay in close contact with your father. You have no chiv of kibbut avein, you can stay away. When a person has the question, then we'll discuss the answers. I'm saying there are situations where the parents can be really harmful to the children's lives, so then the recommendation would be different. But provided that things are normal, the parents aren't coming in and saying, could you guys stop keeping kosher? I brought an excellent ham over here. Why don't you just have supper with me? Provided that the parents are respectful of the way the children go, so then we do try to make peace. And again, you always have to be watchful to make sure that they're not putting venom into the marriage. Meaning, sometimes we see that often. Parents can keep calling, the son-in-law is learning in yeshiva, and they call, and every time they just ask, has he found a job yet, or is he still just sitting in yeshiva? Meaning there's venom that parents can put into a marriage, and that's very harmful over time. Has she learned to be respectful? Has she learned how to cook yet? Has she bought modest clothing yet? Parents could say all kinds of things which are just, you know, and send regards to what's her name, your wife, yeah? There are ways of saying things which automatically leave a bad taste, And then we go back to what we discussed in the beginning of the night, that a person has to watch himself before he gives others. We don't have to accept certain amounts of damage and harm, but when it reaches a certain point, then we don't have to accept it. We have to protect ourselves first.
So you're saying in most cases we should be the one that initiates the peace process?
Every person has to try and find peace. It's your responsibility in your life. It's my responsibility in my life. It's my responsibility in your life as well. Aaron HaKohen didn't just stay home. The pasuk says about peace, "Bakesh shalom v'rodfehu." You should seek out peace, chase after it. It won't come to you. "Bakesh shalom v'rodfehu." Peace is something that has to be sought after.
Can you answer
Shmuel's
question? Shmuel?
About what? About
the looks.
So we'll get to the looks. I.